This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Halfway home on a Friday. Thanks for starting your weekend off with me and Rob here on The Drive. 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and all over the world being heard right now on the radio.com app. It is now time to play a game that is called Pick a Player. It's a very simple game. The way the game is played is you got 15 seconds to name as many things in a category as you can. So if the category is colors, you say red, blue, green, black, brown, 15 seconds goes up. And then you'll go up against today's player, which happens to be our Royals insider and my good friend Josh Vernier. And whoever gets more is today's winner. And whoever wins gets 30 seconds to talk about whatever the hell they want to talk about. So we got David, we got Jason, we got Brian, and we got Luke, which means that we go first to David. What's up, David? How you feeling, man?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right, David, here we go. You got 15 seconds to name as many things with wheels as you can. All right, David, as many things with wheels as you can. On your mark, get set, go.
Car, truck, tractor, wheelbarrow, ATV, UTV, motorcycle, bicycle, unicycle. That's all I got.
All right. Usually they wait until the end of music, but he didn't want to wait, so that's fine. We put him on hold. Very strong performance out the box. He got 9, I believe, is what I counted. 9 from my guy David, although there is one discrepancy, Rob, and as the executive producer of this show, you can make this type of executive decision. I said things with wheels. Wheels, plural, not wheel. And he said unicycle. What are we going to do about that?
Ooh.
You understand the dilemma here, right?
I do understand that because wheels.
You would need 2 unicycles to have wheels.
Correct. They'll make a bicycle, which he said.
He did say bicycle.
I'm not going to give him unicycle.
Are you serious?
I'm not going to give him unicycle.
David, I'm sorry, bro.
Wheels.
Dog, I would have gave it to you, but.
So he's at 8.
All right. He's at 8. Let's see if Vern knows things with wheels.
Car, truck, plane, four-wheeler, bicycle, tricycle, unicycle, Hot Wheels.
Not gonna lie, didn't see that one coming.
Not giving him unicycle either. By the way,
so because he also said unicycle, that keeps David alive at a +1 over Vern. So David, don't hang up, stay on the line, because technically, my friend, you still have a puncher's chance. Let's now go out to the phone lines and get Jason on the drive. What's up, Jason? How you living, man?
Man, how about you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in. All right, your topic today, Jason, is going to be things that you would see around the office. Things that you would see, Jason, around the office. On your mark, get set, go.
Pens, paper clips, printers, desks, file cabinets, pencils, staplers, staple removers, chairs, desks, refrigerators, coffee makers, coffee mugs.
Very strong performance. If we're giving him, are we giving him coffee mugs under the gun at the end?
Yeah, well, I know what. I'm being stingy today. I didn't give it to David. I'm not going to give it to him either.
Okay. The Russian judge won't give it to him.
I got to be fair and tight for everyone.
Okay. So he still got 12. It was very impressive. And I like what he started doing, because you got to connect things with other things. So once you say stapler, you say staple remover. And then you say the actual staples that are in the stapler. That's the very best way to play this particular game. So I asked the question, office items. I can tell you this. Vern hasn't been into an office in quite a long time. So let's see how he remembers what one of those things has inside of it.
Table, chairs, computer, mouse, possibly a standing desk, a cup of coffee, a lamp, pencils, pens, paper, notebooks, planners, a calendar.
Callender got him 13, the Baker's dozen. Thanks for playing, Jason. You can go ahead and hang up. Vern with the Callender at the end. He got you. 913-576-7610, of course, is the phone number. Let's go out to Brian. What's up, Brian? How you living, man?
Doing pretty good.
All right, Brian. So your category against Vern is kids' cartoon shows, which happens to be a specialty of Josh Vernier's because he's a grown child. Kids' cartoon shows. All right, Brian, here we go. On your mark, get set, go.
Paw Patrol, PJ Masks, Peppa Pig, Blue's Clues, Barney, Sesame Street. Oh. I lost it.
Not necessarily. I mean, you lost it a little bit when I asked you cartoons and you said Barney and Sesame Street, which...
Yeah, which are not cartoons.
They're not cartoons. They're definitely...
They are children's shows.
They're children's shows, and they are some of the finest PBS viewing that you can have this side of Masterpiece Theater or the Jerry Lewis Telethon. Is that still a thing? But they're definitely not... Well, I can't say definitely. I know Sesame Street is definitely not a cartoon. Can we confirm, Rob?
I'm 90% sure Barney is not a cartoon.
I know the big purple dinosaur with his friend. What was his friend's name? That little green thing? Baby Bop.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's not. But do we know that they didn't make a cartoon of Barney at some point? Because most of the time when you've got success for something in real life, it turns into a cartoon. I'm not saying for sure they did or did not make a Barney. So as of right now... He's got five. If there was a Barney cartoon, he's
got six.
Quick
Google of Barney and Barney and Friends. This top result is not a cartoon.
Not a cartoon. Okay. All right. Well, unless we find out in the next couple of minutes that Barney's a cartoon, he got six. Stay on the line. Let's see how well Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, knows his kids' cartoons.
Flintstones, Jetsons, Bugs Bunny, Animaniacs, Doug, Rugrats. He-Man, Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse, good enough. Mickey Mouse Club, I think he was going for.
Going for Mickey Mouse Club.
I feel like he got in 66% of the words, so I think we should give it to him.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse, it has been in cartoon form, so yeah, we'll give that to him.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse has been in cartoon form for quite a long time
Mickey
now,
Mickey Mouse
Rob.
Has been in every form. Let's not kid ourselves.
All right, well, thanks for playing, Brian. You got beat by Vern there at the very end with his call of Mickey Mouse. So far, somehow, some way, David has been hanging on by a thread, but he's still winning as of right now. We've got one more competitor, though. That is Luke out there in Kansas City. Luke, how you living this Friday?
I'm good, man.
All right, Luke, this is kind of unfair, I will admit to you, because Josh Vernier is one of the brightest baseball minds I know, and I asked him to name as many current or former Major League Baseball closers as he could. So, Luke, I'm sorry. I understand it's a little bit unfair, but you still got to give it a chance. You can name current or former Major League Baseball closers. On your mark, get set, go.
Rivera, Hoffman, Soria, Supon, Wainwright, Bruce Sutter, Raleigh Fingers,
Good for you, Luke. I'm telling you right now, you can hang up, you're not going to win. But good for you. You got off to a nice start. You gave me some current ones. You gave me some classic ones, some Hall of Famers, some names I haven't heard in a while. You're going head-to-head against Vern when you're talking baseball, so you're probably not going to win any type of discussion. But I was actually impressed, Luke. Good for you. Vern, how many closers can you name in 15 seconds?
Dan Quisenberry, Wade Davis, Greg Holland, Jeff Montgomery, Joaquin Soria, Kelvin Herrera, Ian Kennedy, Bruce Sutter, Lee Smith, Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, Eric Gagne, Fernando Rodney.
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on. He didn't really have a chance. He got, I want to say, 15. And the most impressive part is the first seven that he named, I thought he didn't understand what I was asking because he named all Royals closers. So he tied our boy Luke with just Royals closers alone, which, again, somehow means that David, you get 30 seconds. If you wouldn't mind, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world right now, so let's try to keep it to sports if you could. Maybe some Royals 30 seconds, David. Maybe some Chiefs talk. Right now, my friend, the floor is yours for 30 seconds, David.
All right. Well, I might make some people mad here, but I'm actually a huge Broncos fan, and I'm from Denver, so I'm going to give my shout-out to the Broncos. I think it was a great draft. 11 draft picks. I think they did a great job. I'm not going to lie, I wanted John Elway the hell out of Denver for a while, but I think that it might pan out for Drew Lock this year. I don't think we're going to beat the Chiefs. Chiefs are going to get the division, but I'm calling a wild card spot.
David, thank you for your words, even though, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that hope that Denver makes the playoffs this year. It's kind of a weird spot, though, because I do feel like in Kansas City, a lot of people are rooting for Drew Lock. A lot of people. He's got the local Kansas City ties. He went to school at MU, and he happens to be in the division. And speaking for somebody that doesn't really care for MU sports very much, is out to school at KU, I hope he's good. I really do. He's a Kansas City guy. I hope Drew Lock's good. There, I said it. Not so good that they win like 13 games and win the division or anything like that, but I hope he's good. Coming up next, the NBA has a plan for reentry. Yesterday, I said that it was the dumbest idea of all the leagues, and then I thought about it a little bit more, and it's the smartest idea by far, and I'll tell you why coming up next on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
I hope you're happy, Rob. You went off and upset the people from the 573 on the text line. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, don't forget, has changed. The number is now the same that you would call, 913-576-7610. So if you want to call us or text us, the number is 913-576-7610. From the 573, F this guy, you've got to screen the calls better. From the 913, cut this guy off. From the 620, just hang up on that guy. He's a Broncos fan. I would just say this. Aren't Broncos fans people too? Aren't they humans? They're not Raiders fans. Come on, people. That's Rob Breton. I'm the Sports Machine, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in about 5 minutes, MU fans, there's a guy that went to MU. There's a guy that's won multiple championships in his career. And I honestly don't know if anybody knows who I'm talking about right now. I'll tell you who it is coming up in about 5 minutes. But we were talking yesterday about all the major league sports, all the different plans for soccer and hockey and football and baseball and the NBA, what they're going to do when they re-enter the atmosphere, if you will, when they come back to playing sports. And Rob asked me who I thought had the best plan. And I was saying, well, nobody's got a great plan. You know, basketball is kind of flawed because of this. And baseball, somebody's going to get sick and give it to somebody else. And all these different problems opposed to solutions. And then I thought a little bit more about it. And what the NBA is trying to do is not only the best plan, it's the most genius plan. First of all, I feel like baseball is in a hurry, even though they're giving themselves the deadline. Even though Vern talked about baseball should probably start by then if we're going to have a season, and CDOT said we have to have games by July 4th, they don't really make the rules. They just kind of give us their thoughts. So it doesn't really matter what us talking heads think. There's not a deadline. Nobody's actually said baseball isn't going to happen if we don't have an agreement by the end of this week, or if we don't decide if it's going to be 80 or 100 games or what they're going to do with the playoffs. They've got time. Basketball feels like they've got even more time, and I'm talking about the NBA right now. First of all, one thing that baseball has to deal with that basketball doesn't is the weather situation. The longer that baseball sits on their hands and can't come to an agreement, the longer that we don't have spring training, then regular season games, and then we start the playoffs, what, in December? And the World Series is in January, and then the seventh game goes up against the Super Bowl in February. Like, we can't do that. It just doesn't work because that's the way that baseball is played. Basketball has the luxury of something called a roof. So they don't have to deal with all this weather crap, and it's not college basketball where they have to deal with a bunch of kids that are going to go on and be doctors and lawyers and garbage men and carpenters, and some go on to be basketball players. But the college semester is over. So the NCAA couldn't have just stalled and said, let's just see what happens, the same way that the NBA can. The NBA, it makes all the sense in the world to wait as long as you possibly can to have to make your decision. Because one, you don't have to deal with weather. Two, there's not an actual deadline. I mean, if you really need to move back the next season, you can. And three, do what hockey did. When Rob told me a couple of days ago that hockey's plan, and not just plan, it's actually what they're going with, is to expand their playoffs from 16 to 24 teams. So think about it. There are going to be 10 teams in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs that are below 500. There are going to be teams that thought that their summer was going to start here in a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden they're going to find themselves in the postseason. And at first I thought, that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. What league lets in, what is that, like 80% of their teams in the postseason? Postseason sport should be rewarded for the teams that are, oh, I don't know, good. And hockey decided we're going to put everybody in but seven. So 24 of the 31 teams get in. For hockey, I'm still questioning, does that make sense? For the NBA, that makes all the sense in the world. Here's why. If you get in 24 teams, you know who you get in? Trae Young. You know who you get to see in the playoffs? Zion as a rookie. You know who you might get a chance to see? The longer this thing goes and the longer guys have to recover, try this one on for size. Kevin Durant on the Nets. You want to talk about a hell of an interesting scenario this year. COVID doesn't go away for a while. NBA doesn't have a plan. They start in, like, let's call it 30, 45 days. Durant gets healthier. Kyrie Irving gets healthy. And all of a sudden, we've been talking about these teams in the East and not the one we should have been. Not the team that has probably two top 10 players on planet Earth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how pissed off? What if LeBron James' plan is to add to his legacy this year because all season long he's been healthy and built this record with this team, this camaraderie with Anthony Davis and his coach and all this stuff, and they got the best record in the league. They're going to be the number one seed. And then they end up getting knocked out because Kevin Durant was fresher. Because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving all of a sudden have this chemistry that we couldn't have imagined right away. That's not impossible. So the more I think about the NBA's plan, it makes a lot of sense. Sit on your heels, go slow, wait as long as you possibly can, get the healthiest players back, and then get as many superstars as you can. I don't know how I didn't see that before.
And real quick, a little breaking news. Per Shams, who's basically Woj, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the league office informed the Board of Governors that July 31st is the target date for our return to season. So end of July is their target date.
And again, that's their target date. That's not a, hey, if this doesn't happen, because we know it's going to happen, right? If that's not the date or if the money doesn't turn out to be what both sides want, then they're going to negotiate. I would be very, and I keep asking the question to all the baseball guys, because I'd be surprised if somebody said, yeah, I don't think we're going to have a season this year. But the more negotiating goes along and the more pissed off people get and the longer it goes, the less of a chance there is. But I don't think that we're in that territory yet where we're talking about no baseball. What we need to be talking about is a guy that went to school at MU that's got multiple championships to his name and that fights this weekend. And maybe I'm wrong. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. Do you all even know who Tyron Woodley is? The chosen one? Maybe I'm just too much of a UFC honk, but he went to school at MU. He grew up in Ferguson, of course, outside of St. Louis. He's been a champion for a long time, and he fights Gilbert Burns coming up tomorrow night. Hello? Is this thing on? Am I talking to myself? All right. His nickname is The Chosen One. It's Friday. I'm by myself. C-Dot's not here. So I'm going to give you a bonus Levine's List.
Levine's List.
The Chosen One is an okay nickname for Tyron Woodley. Here are the 10 best UFC nicknames of all time. Number 10, Rob, I'm going to let you decide. I couldn't decide. Do I want to use The Prodigy, which is BJ Penn, or The Korean Zombie, Chan Sung-jung? Korean Zombie
Korean
or Prodigy?
Korean Zombie's a better nickname. BJ Penn's a better fighter, but I'll take Korean Zombie since the game is nicknamed.
Number 10, Korean Zombie. Number 9, Thug Rose. She's like 100 pounds. Thug Rose. Number 8, Fedor Emelianenko. He was the last emperor. Number 7, Carlos Condit, the natural born killer. Number 6, Chael Sonnen, who actually came on the show down in Miami. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Chael Sonnen, the American gangster. Top 5 best UFC nicknames of all time. Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie, and it's true. Number 4, Israel Adesanya, the current champ, the last style bender. Number 3, Kevin Ferguson. You know who that is? Kimbo Slice. Kimbo Slice, Kevin Ferguson's his real name. Number 2, the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. And the best nickname in the history of the UFC belongs to Vanderlei Silva, known as the Axe Murderer. Thank you for indulging me for about 2 minutes there while I could talk a little bit of UFC. But give some love to my guy, Tyron Woodley. Coming up next, a guy that's going to get plenty of love in the form of money. We're going to talk Patrick Mahomes' contract. You can chime in on the conversation at 913-576-7610. And we're going to take a trip, meanwhile, in the news. A lot coming up in the next half hour right here on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Damn, that traffic guy just said a lot of big words. I'm not that smart. I mean, I know big words, but they're all sports related, like Tashi Manga Biaka Batuka or Dikembe Mutombo Mbuplumbo Jean-Jacques Wamutombo. I don't know what that guy was talking about. Welcome back into The Drive. Sports Machine Sean Levine taking you up until 6 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. And right now, Rob, I don't know if you know this, we're being heard all over the world on the radio.com app. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll see what's going on in the news and have a little bit of fun because it's a crazy world that we're dealing with right now. Of course, top of the 5 o'clock hour, same thing we do every day. We'll get you the hits, get a chance to hear from Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, and then we always wrap up Friday. You can ask us anything. So if you want to, get those texts rolling in right now on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line at 913-576-7610. Don't forget the text line and the phone number is now the same. That old 69306 thing, that is gone, squadouche, obsolete. It no longer exists. It is dead. The text line number is 913-576-7610, which is also the phone number. And you know what? I'm feeling all right. So if you think you have a good point to make, dial me up. If you want to talk about Patrick Mahomes and his contract, because I know there are a lot of people out there that have very strong opinions on this. And this is just kind of my thought. Curious yours. Again, 913-576-7610. Because yesterday, CDOT and I, we got into, not an argument, I'd say it was more of a debate, where the number for a long time has been $40 million. And that's because Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger and all the other guys, highest paid quarterbacks, get like 35, 36. And I think at the time that we gave out that number 40, we were assuming that Deshaun Watson and Dak would have kind of set the market themselves. And so one of them would have made 38, the next one would have made 39 or 40. And then so Pat would have got his 40 or 41. Well, yesterday, me and CDOT set the number and we bet $100. We bet a Benjamin. I think it's going to be over 42. Now, I also think the truth is, if Pat went to the Chiefs and said, you got to back up a Brinks truck that has $50 million in it to my house, they would do it, knowing how valuable he is. Again, if you weren't listening yesterday, I was talking about the value that Pat has to the Chiefs versus the value the Chiefs have to Pat. The Chiefs are, it's a perfect marriage, but the Chiefs are really, really lucky that when they finally decided to trade up and draft a first-round quarterback, they got Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that they could have got Mitchell Trubisky and completely screwed it up like they did with Todd Blackledge, but they could have got a Sam Bradford or a Sam Darnold type player. They got Patrick Mahomes. So the Chiefs need Pat at this point much more than Pat needs the Chiefs. So if his number's $50 million, unfortunately for the Chiefs, I kind of think they'd have to cave. And I don't even know how much they would negotiate. We set the number at about $42 million. I'm curious. Dial me up, 913-576-7610. What do you think is a comfortable number as a fan that you could see Pat getting paid? Because you have to remember, there are other guys that aren't going to see money if Pat ends up getting $50 million. And one of those guys is Chris Jones, who we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But I will say this about Patrick Mahomes' contract when it comes to paying quarterbacks. What other quarterback in the history of the league would you feel more confident making the highest paid player? I'm pretty sure that right now it's so obvious it's not even worth the conversation. Nobody's going to say, well, Aaron Rodgers deserves to be higher paid than Patrick Mahomes. Based on what? Based on what? One of them's played for 14 seasons. The other one's played for two full seasons. And they've won the same amount of Super Bowls and been in the same amount of championship games, I believe. Maybe Aaron Rodgers been to three. But my point rings true. Nobody's going to say that. There are a couple of guys this offseason that are due big-time money. Big-time money. In fact, depending on the chronological order, Dak Prescott for a while could be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. Same thing with Deshaun Watson. It just kind of depends on who gets paid first. But if you're a general manager or if you're an owner, are you completely sold that Dak Prescott's your guy for the next 5 years at $200 million? You know who's not? Jerry Jones, who's the general manager and owner of the actual team that Dak Prescott plays on. Because if he was, he would have already paid him. We've had that conversation for so long right now. I think the answer that we've come to is that they want to see more out of Dak Prescott before they pay him. And maybe he'll end up getting something done here this summer. Maybe he won't. But I do know that they're not completely in love with him, or they would have already paid him. The same way that Russell Wilson got paid. And Russell Wilson deserved to get paid. I think he's the second best quarterback in football. What about Deshaun Watson? Is that a complete and total no-brainer? On the surface, it seems like, yeah, he always gets his team to the playoffs. He's like 25 years old, But now he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins. And if you really break it down with a microscope, has he improved a lot since his rookie year? The game slowed down and he's better with his legs and he's certainly more consistent. But his rookie year, he played six games. He had 18 touchdown passes. Do the math. That was three a game. That's ridiculous. And then the last 2 years, when he stayed relatively healthy, 26 passing touchdowns and 26 passing touchdowns. So if I'm going to give that guy $40, $42 million a year, I'm going to think long and hard about it. And then you look at some of the other guys that have gotten paid the last few years and really broke the bank. It wasn't about their talent. It sure as hell wasn't about their talent. It was about their timing. They're really good at timing it. Like Kirk Cousins. Does anybody think that Kirk Cousins is worth $30 million a year? Has he proven that? Does he have that type of upside? Is he that good? No. But a team like the Vikings finds himself between a rock and a hard place and goes, okay, do we want to draft a quarterback and be crappy probably for the next 3 or 4 years until he turns into something? Or do we just want to overpay a guy that we know is probably a top 10, top 12 quarterback and nothing better than that? And they decided to do that. That happens all the time. That's what Oakland did with Derek Carr. Hell, that's what the Titans did this year with Ryan Tannehill. It's what the 49ers did with Jimmy Garoppolo. All these teams end up doing the same thing, which is really nice to be a Chiefs fan knowing that you never have to ask yourself that question. Did the Chiefs spend their money wisely on their quarterback? Whatever the dollar amount ends up being, if CDOT's right and it's $40 million, if I'm right and it's $43, it doesn't really matter. Well, it matters for our bank account because we got a $100 bet on it. But for the Chiefs, it's a no-brainer. I genuinely believe that things would have been a little bit different and say Deshaun Watson was the quarterback of this team. Would the Chiefs have won a Super Bowl? Would he have been an MVP the same way that Pat is? If he had the tutelage of an Andy Reid instead of a Bill O'Brien, we'll never know. It's a fun sports topic conversation to have, especially with no, I don't know, actual sports going on. But we've seen what Pat's accomplished. So I don't think that it's fair to play the game of, well, that's just how it works in the NFL. Well, but that's just how it goes. But that's how it's always gone. I hate that answer. Well, what if the player is completely different than anybody that's ever come along? Why does he have to abide by those same rules when it comes to a contract? So if we're saying that a guy like a Kirk Cousins and a Jimmy Garoppolo, the timing was really well, and those guys got $25, $30 million, cool, good for them. And then if we're saying that a guy like Deshaun Watson and next year Lamar Jackson, their contracts are going to come up, and they're going to break the bank, and they're going to get generational money, again, cool, it's not my money, I don't care. But why should we be ignorant and pretend like Pat only deserves $2 million more than the guy who signs before him? Because that's how it's worked in the past. So Wentz gets 25 and Jimmy gets 26 and Kirk gets 27. And all these other guys get 28 and 30 and Matt Ryan gets 32. That makes sense because all those guys are kind of in the same family. They're all good quarterbacks. But nobody's accomplished what Patrick Mahomes has. So I genuinely don't think that it's fair to say, but that's how it's gone. No, not with a player that's that transcendently good and different at that position, which is why if Pat wants to hold the Chiefs' feet to the flames, and I'm not saying he's going to, he's got every right to, but I'm not saying he's going to. If he says, I want $50 million, me and my agent sat down and we said, this is what we think I'm worth. This is what we think that I can make. And we want to do it here in Kansas City. Then I'm telling you, the Chiefs will make that happen. I hope that's not the scenario that it comes down to, because if that happens, back to Chris Jones. Chris Jones is a guy, there have been a couple of guys the last few years in Kansas City that are great at what they do, that are great in the community, that the one thing that they haven't figured out is timing. Chris Jones, Whit Merrifield. Think about Chris Jones. So you get drafted, you're not a first round pick, so you already have to prove yourself. You go out there the first year, you're really good. The second year, you're every bit as good. And then by year three and year four, you're the best at your position. Not named Aaron Donald. We're talking about Pro Bowls, all pros. We're talking about getting to the quarterback more often than any defensive tackle this side of Aaron Donald. You're great in the community. There's a playoff game where you're questionable, your health is questionable, and then you show up and make a bunch of really big plays. And I'm not saying Chris Jones is perfect. We all know that same knock on him. He's not great against the run, but he does a lot of things well. And he's a good dude, and he's good in the locker room, and he's 25 years old, and he's got 25 sacks the last two seasons. If he's just putting his resume out there and says, this is why I want to get paid the money that I'm asking for, well, then the Chiefs would say, yeah, dude, here you go. Here's your check. Thanks, buddy. We can't wait to see you in the next 4 or 5 years. Thanks for your services. Glad to have you here. But there's a guy they have to pay. What's that guy's name? Patrick Mahomes. So let's not pretend like one thing doesn't have to do with the other, because it absolutely does. Not necessarily directly connected, but that's why getting done Pat's contract early is the best scenario for the Chiefs. For Pat, I don't think it matters too much. I don't think it matters if Pat gets paid before or after Deshaun and Dak, because he's better than those guys. He's going to get paid more than those guys, however it works. It's either going to be a 2 or 3 year deal where he gets a ton of money, or it's going to be some sort of percentage of the cap. So I do think that Pat will figure out a way to be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. But as far as it goes for Chris Jones, the Chiefs have to set their budget. It's no different, Rob, than when you take a vacation, right? You go to Puerto Vallarta and you're like, all right, I need this much money for the hotel. I need this much money for food. I need this much money for booze. I need this much money for the flight. I need this much money for the other entertainment. And then you see what you got left, and then you can decide what you're going to do. That's exactly where the Kansas City Chiefs are right now, where they know who they've got under contract. They know they got Tyrann Mathieu for the next couple of years. They know they got Frank Clark under contract. They know that they've got Travis Kelce for at least the next 2 years and Tyreek Hill for at least the next couple of years. They know what their situation is for pretty much all the pillars of this team, except for Pat and Chris Jones. And when it comes to Pat, we all agree it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. When is it going to be, and what's the exact number going to be that's on that check? For Chris Jones, the question isn't if or when, it's is it going to happen, or is it going to be a Chief after this season? My gut tells me, nobody else tells me this, my gut tells me the Chiefs figured this out. My gut tells me is this is how it plays out. Pat gets his money, $43 million a year, 4-year contract, 80% of it's guaranteed. So you do the numbers. What is that? 43 times 2 is, what's that? 86. So 86 times 2. I shouldn't have tried this. Where are we at? 172. Is that right? For 4 years? 172 for 4 years, 150 guaranteed. Bam, there it is. I just figured it out. Pay the man his money. It's not that hard, Rob. What's so damn difficult about that? I just figured it out. There. 4 years, $172 million, 150 guaranteed. Sign the check, give him that, and then you figure out the rest of the money. That's it. That's what Pat deserves. So, again, the one thing that the Chiefs don't have to ever ask themselves is, are we making a good decision when you're paying Patrick Mahomes? You could say, are we overpaying by a little bit? If he holds our feet to the flames, I don't really think that's their choice. But trust me, with all these other teams, you don't think that it took a lot of stress and lost sleep to pay Kirk Cousins $30 million a year? It certainly did. You don't think when a team decided to pay Jimmy $27 million a year, they were like, ah, I don't know, man. Like, let's make sure this is our guy. You don't think that the Titans are questioning, was Ryan Tannehill worth the $25, $27 million, or was that just smoke and mirrors? With the Chiefs, they're not asking that, which is kind of a comforting fact. We'll talk more about Pat and his contract coming up in the hits and pretty much the entire 5 o'clock hour before the last segment, which, of course, is Ask Us Anything. But right now, Rob, fire up some beats. Let's go. Meanwhile, in the news.
Actually, I'm going to throw a quick audible because I seen a UFC tweet. I know you're a UFC guy, so I got a quick tweet I want to read to you. I want to get your reaction. Then we'll go to Meanwhile in the News. John Bones Jones has tweeted, I don't even make half of what Deontay Wilder makes. If my reputation caused you to undervalue me this much, just go ahead and release me from my UFC contract. I'm sure some promoter somewhere will be more than happy to pick me up. John Jones trying to get out of his contract?
No, John Jones is trying to get paid. What's going on right now is John Jones is the light heavyweight champion, and they're trying to get him to fight Francis Ngannou. If you really want to break it down, I will. They're trying to get him to fight Francis Ngannou at heavyweight, and John Jones is saying, no, I'm not going to move up to heavyweight and fight the scariest man on planet Earth and probably get my ass knocked out and lose my, technically not undefeated. He's lost once, but we all know how that went down. He doesn't want to do it for any less money. And sometimes when guys go from light heavyweight to heavyweight, they do get paid more, like in the case of Daniel Cormier. Most of the time, the UFC says, screw you. I don't care if you want to fight in lightweight or flyweight or bantamweight or heavyweight or whatever you want to fight in, this is what we're going to pay you. So this is nothing new. This is a ploy. This is a negotiation from John Jones. If he goes up to heavyweight, he wants to make more money. And also, Rob, this is not breaking news because UFC fighters, every single one of them, since the history of the organization, have basically been underpaid unless your name is Conor McGregor. And the only reason that Conor McGregor gets paid is because he had that one fight versus Floyd Mayweather, easy for me to say, where he made, what, $100 million, and Floyd made like $200 million. And all of a sudden, Conor McGregor's bank account, after 20 UFC fights where he had $30 million, ballooned up to $130 million. And then he started that whole, what's it called? That, what's his drink called?
It's some sort of whiskey.
What is this whiskey called? Proper 12.
Yeah, thank you.
His Proper 12 whiskey. And now he's made another $100 million. So now he's got $250 million in the bank. So if it's Conor and money in the UFC, it doesn't really matter. But everybody else, they are underpaid. John Jones gets like $5 million base plus pay-per-view money, which there's no gate right now that they're getting, so they're not getting that percentage. So, yeah. And Deontay Wilder, I mean, boxers historically, this is nothing new. If you're a fighter and you just want to make a ton of money and that's your end game, don't get in the UFC, dog. Box. That would be my advice. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, meanwhile, in the news.
Meanwhile, in the news.
That's what I said.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I've got some good news for you and some potentially upsetting news.
You're a f***ing newsman. Did I ever tell you otherwise? You punch me in the face.
The Drive Witness News.
Biggest news story today. Monkeys have attacked a lab in India.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Snatched the blood of multiple COVID-19 patients.
Hold on, they snatched the blunt or the blood?
Blood.
Blood.
As if 2020 wasn't bad enough, now we have the literal start of, was it Rise of the Planet of the Apes, playing out in real life.
Sounds like Rise of the Planet of the Apes combined with that Outbreak movie combined with what's going on right now. Look, this takes a serious situation to a whole nother level because there are, I believe, a couple of different types of monkeys. There are the friendly monkeys like Bubbles the monkey that Michael Jackson had, Marcel the monkey that Ross had on Friends. And then there are the monkeys that aren't on television, that are in zoos, that are absolutely crazy. There's a reason why they are monkeys, Rob. Do you remember when the monkeys escaped from the Kansas City Zoo? They weren't just like...
Weren't you connected to this story somehow?
I was across the street at Starlight.
Oh, okay.
But it's not just like, hey, you know, the monkeys are loose. Monkeys are so funny. Like, they swing around, eat those bananas. No, it was panic. I think they called it Code Banana. I'm not even making that up. I'm pretty sure they sent a Code Banana. Now I think I might be making this up. To everybody's phone in the zoo to take cover. So, yeah, I mean, the last thing that I want are the monkeys and the COVID-19 patients interacting, and now you're telling me that the monkeys have actually snatched the blood of the COVID patients, so we don't know where that's going to end up. This is bad news.
On to some more light... That is bad. I totally agree. On to some more lighthearted news. A man in Mobile broke into his local AMC. He broke in not seeking shelter, but snacks. My man broke in and ate several bags of snacks, including popcorn and candy, and several, according to the report, bottled sodas. The man has since been arrested and charged with third-degree burglary. Is it really burglary if you're going in there and just lounging around?
He didn't watch a movie at all? He didn't even attempt to watch a movie?
I wouldn't know how to get the projector started either.
No, I wouldn't either, but... I mean, if I'm breaking into an AMC, I'm at least going to attempt to watch a movie. Like, that'd be pretty cool. To not just be in a theater by yourself, but to be in the actual entire AMC, which has this, like, 24 theaters. Part of it seems a little bit haunted house-ish to me, actually, now that I think about it. Like, you got all these movies playing, you're the only one walking around in there. The bass, it sounds a little bit scary. My question is this. Was he able to get butter on his popcorn? Because that just makes such a big difference when you go to the movies. My girlfriend, we almost broke up about this. This is almost a breakable offense. We went to Bad Boys 2. We got the giant thing of popcorn. I got my slushy. This is at Ward Parkway. That's why I like watching the movies there, because you can get your icy when you get your popcorn. And, you know, we did that, like, romantic thing. We were kind of new together. It was, like, 2 months in the relationship. So we got the biggest thing of popcorn. You know, it's all cute. You know, oh, you put your hand at the same time, then end up holding hands. She didn't want any butter on the popcorn. Like, what's the matter with you? No butter on popcorn, Rob, is the equivalent of shaving your face without shaving cream. Now, I'm not saying you need to use shaving cream, because personally, I actually use conditioner. I don't know if the gentlemen out there listening know that trick, buy conditioner. I'm talking about the cheap stuff, the 99-cent Suave. It lasts for a long-ass time. You lather it up a little bit, and it actually works better. It's, like, smoother than actual shaving cream itself. So take that advice if you want it. It's free. But how can you not put butter on your popcorn? That's not putting – that's like not putting anything on your face and just shaving dry. That's absolutely ridiculous, but we move on.
Was the This is an honest question I did not read throughout the whole story. If the power was on, that's good living. Popcorn, nachos, all the hot foods, hot dogs, chicken fingers, all this stuff. If the power was on and he was able to, you know, not just eat, you know, bags of candy and like peanuts and stuff, it's good living by him.
It is, but you have to be experienced to cook all that stuff. I don't think that you could just break into a place. And
hot dog, probably not.
Hot dogs, no. I mean, you come out the womb knowing how to cook. If you're an American, you come out the womb knowing how to make a hot dog
you're
and a hamburger.
About chicken fingers. The chicken fingers would take some professional skill.
Have you ever used a deep fryer?
I have personally not, no.
Okay, well, I have. I worked at Johnny's Tavern back in high school, the old Shawnee Mission Parkway location before they moved across the street.
Yeah.
And I've told my deep fryer story many times when I had to dip my hand in the deep fryer intentionally, but there were a bunch of other times that I didn't mean to. And that's a very dangerous piece of equipment. So don't just pretend like, Rob, you're going to go to AMC and start flipping the chicken fingers and getting them the perfect crispiness and the ranch dressing and honey mustard and all that, because it doesn't work that way, my friend.
Yeah, you're right. I was wrong about chicken fingers. But hot dogs, there's some good living to be had there. Yeah. All right, our last Meanwhile on the News story. A California woman swallowed her engagement ring while in her sleep. This leads me to three questions for you, Sean. One, how does this even happen? Two, is she ever going to wear that ring again? And three, have you ever had any sort of experience like this?
All good questions. Let me start with the latter. I've never swallowed a piece of metal or aluminum that I wasn't supposed to, but my cousin David did. He swallowed a quarter, and the way the story goes is he pooped out two dimes and a nickel. I don't know if that's true or not. Sounds like a tall tale to me. That's what my Aunt Leslie's always said. I think that he just ended up passing it, and they were just embarrassed because at the time of this, my cousin David, you were probably picturing he was like, you know, a 9 or 10-year-old kid. No, he was 23 years old. It wasn't that long ago. So I'm going to believe the story that the change turned into two dimes and a nickel, even though it seems a little bit far-fetched. To answer the second question, will she ever wear the ring again? Why not? I mean, if it comes out, so I would assume that something that small, even if you got a big diamond on it, it's going to be a little painful, but it's going to come out. And then when you take it to the jewelry, because a lot of times, Rob, I don't know if you know this, but when you buy a really expensive piece of jewelry, it comes with like a free cleaning for a year or two type thing. Take it back to the jeweler, whatever they're called. Don't let them know what happened. I know that's a little bit kind of disgusting.
That's some shady business.
It's shady business. But if you let them know what happened, there's no way that that's under the warranty. I guarantee there's something in the clause that says, we're not going to clean your ring if you pooped it out. It's got to be the really small writing, Rob, but trust me, it exists. So that's what you got to do. I know that it's a little bit shady. I know it's a little bit disgusting, but that's what you have to do. And then you asked, how did this happen? By the way, the hit's coming up in about 10 minutes here on The Drive, the top stories in Kansas City, in sports, and around the world. How this happened, I would say either one of two things happened. This woman had so much alcohol consumed in her system that she probably passed out. And once you're passed out and in bed, there are some things that you just you can't really take the blame for. If you wake up with clothes that you did have on or didn't have on, or if you wake up with somebody else's jewelry. I mean, my best friend Anthony, one time we were at a hotel for a fantasy football draft, and that guy was so drunk that he took a leak in the ice bucket. That's why I don't use ice buckets anymore at hotels, because I watched my guy fill it up, and then he went to the trash can. He thought he was going to the toilet. So maybe that's what happened. She was so inebriated, she didn't know what was going on. But more likely, this is the scenario. She was probably, like, eating a bag of chips or something. The ring was a little bit loose, you know? The ring fell off. Ranch Doritos are just so delicious that you have to eat them by the handful, and that she didn't realize when she got a big bite that her ring was in it. She just thought that she got like a extra crunchy chip, but it turned out to actually be part of her diamond.
That would shred her teeth, though, you'd think, right?
Yeah, but then she swallowed, and then all of a sudden she panicked, and she looked at her fan, and she was like, oh, I don't have a ring on there. This is not good. So, again, just to answer all three of your questions, I don't really know how it happened. If I'm her, yes, I wear the ring again, but after I get it thoroughly cleaned, and I'm not sure if my cousin really pooped out two dimes and a nickel. I really don't know. That's Rob. I'm the Sports Machine. 3 hours in the book. One more coming up. Here's the plan. We're going to get you the hits. We're going to hear from Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Jay Binkley's going to talk about Pat's contract. And then you can ask us anything. Then we get out of here. It's a drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.